Oscar wakes them both by jumping into their bed, a warm and wiggly bundle of excitement. Eric groans, and Sarah buries her head under the covers. It's barely dawn, and the Air and Space Museum doesn't open until 10, but Oscar doesn't care. He wraps himself around his father's neck. "Happy Sunday!" Oscar whispers loudly, 7 years old and unable to contain himself. "Happy Family Day!" Sunday is Family Day when Oscar gets to choose an activity they will all do together. For more Sundays than Eric cares to think about, the Air and Space Museum, with a food truck lunch on the mall, has been Oscar's choice. But Eric is still mixing batter for Family Day pancakes when Sarah's phone rings with a work emergency. She gives Eric an apologetic look and runs upstairs to put on work clothes. Eric can't face yet another Sunday fighting the tourists for a glimpse of the moonlander without her. Instead, he drops to his knees on the dirty kitchen floor. "Oscar," he says, "I have an idea. What would you say to a Viking adventure in Rock Creek Park?" They have been reading Neil Gaiman's book on Norse mythology together, and the big park has plenty of wild sections and epic landscapes. Oscar cheers and jumps around the house, climbing the furniture while Eric stuffs a backpack with sandwiches and extra clothes and a thermos full of hot chocolate, knowing that Oscar will happily wander all day if he's warm and fed. December weather in Washington, D.C. is nothing for a pair of real Vikings. After a long and muddy day of exploration, they arrive back home at the last unrestored townhouse in Adams Morgan. Oscar sprawls on the floor amid a chaos of Lego and buttery crusts of toast, while Eric stands at the open refrigerator waiting for Sarah to text him back. It is unlike Sarah to ignore her phone. Eric reminds himself that his wife runs her own small cybersecurity company, and a client emergency could well be a very serious thing. She might not be home until midnight or later, and dinner won't wait with a hungry boy in the house. Eric is the one who likes the predictable pleasures of domestic life. Sarah, on the other hand, thrives on emergencies. She still loves late nights dancing in clubs where the floors are sticky and the music is loud enough to lose yourself until daybreak. Eric is happy to be her designated driver because his pleasure comes from watching his brilliant button-down wife slam around the dance floor in ripped Levi's and an ancient biker jacket, alarming the bartenders. On the wildest night, she pulls him into the back of their minivan, where she frees him from the confines of his pants, then wiggles her tight and sweaty jeans down to her ankles to get him inside her with delicious and slightly alarming efficiency. His family, of course, loves Sarah's wild side. Eric has chicken thighs braising and a green salad coming together when, to his surprise, Sarah bangs through the back door, her scuffed leather bag slung over one shoulder. As usual, Sarah's crisp, professional look has come undone during the course of her workday. Her sandy hair falls free from its ponytail, wisps hovering around her forehead like stray thoughts. Her good wool coat is unbuttoned, and the weight of her bag pulls her starched shirt askew and up the lush curve of her hips, making visible a crescent of pale skin at her waist. Eric always finds this aspect of his wife profoundly sexy. His plan is to put Oscar to sleep as soon as possible, pour her a drink to vanquish the day, and then do his utmost to kiss his wife out of her clothing. The calendar says she's ovulating. Eric wants nothing more than another child. Yet when he steps in to press his lips to hers, she holds him back with a hand on his chest. Her eyes remain dark, and he knows she has not yet resolved her emergency.